There is no scripture that says a couple must have children. That may look controversial, but it's not. There's no scripture that says that. In as much as, like I said, Paul says to avoid fornication, you should get married. He didn't say to avoid being fatherless. You should get married. 1 Corinthians 7:2. So, that's a fact. He said, so you get married so that you will not born. He didn't say so that you will not born children. You know, so there's no basis. And you discover that every time Paul talks about wives submitting to their husbands and husbands loving their wives, he didn't say for the sake of your children. That's an African thing. Right? It isn't for the sake of your children, you know, don't leave your home, you know, children, what they will pass through, he didn't say all those kind of things. So we should successfully talk about a relationship between a man and a woman in the marriage without bringing their children in either as a bargaining chip or as a means to compel either party to act. Hope I'm making sense. So parenting should be discussed differently. Kids are important. You must take care of your children and all that, but it's two different things. You have a role, for example, if you're a wife, you have a role as a wife different from being a mother. So that must be well separated. You should not use having children as a bargaining chip to get the other person to act or not act. That is culture, not scripture. Okay? Does that make any sense to you? Alright, so parenting flows from that. That is, we are building a home and we have said that the word edify okodomio, 1 Corinthians 6:12, 1 Corinthians 10:23, not all things edify. I must build the other person. The template for submission and love is primarily the fact that both of us are believers, right? Right? So I have a, if I'm married to you, I almost pointed to you, I'm sorry. If I'm married to you, I must first of all realize I'm married to a believer in Christ. Okay? With whom I must demonstrate the character of Jesus to. I have a duty to protect, to love, and support. So that's a given. It's always there. Now, that said, then we now start talking about the children. Children start coming in. And I'll tell you this, many couples that I've seen always lose sight of this. That it's a different aspect entirely. Praise God. Do you know how it looks like in a team? Sorry, I use football a lot. Because, I mean, that's, for me, the most godly thing outside Jesus Christ. Don't mind me. I'm just joking. But you see, one person in a team, I mean, I am in a team and I understand it. One person can make everybody look foolish. Everybody just becomes something else. That's the power of an addition. So, we have to realize that the minute somebody else comes from the womb, conception to delivery, a different aspect of the family has been introduced. The mistake many times is to change focus, and a lot of women do that. I've joked with many in church about this, and I meant it every time I made that joke, that the minute a child comes in, the woman changes focus. Everybody does. The man begins to look at the child. The woman begins to look at the child. And then they start looking at one another. And for mothers, the minute number two comes in, number one is that you are too disturbing. You are too, you know. It's just typical to change focus immediately and forget that you actually have responsibilities. So parenting is a responsibility. What did I say? Okay, it's a duty that you must learn. You hear me? You must learn it. There's no school of parenting. You must learn parenting. The same way you are building a home with your spouse, husband or wife, you are also building a home with your children. Let me say this quickly and do not forget it. Your children are part of the parties that will build the home. Never see them as they are not important. They are actually very important. Let me ask you a question. Look at this home. Who saved you? Jesus. Right? Who are we following? Jesus. Am I making sense? Who is building the church? We. Are we not the one building the church? Who is building the family of God? Who is strengthening it? We are the ones. If God takes us as an important entity in building his own work on earth, your children are part of the family that you are building, because they are already part of it. So you must ask yourself, what role are they to play? You know what God does? What he wants us to do in the body of Christ, he does to us. So in parenting, you are talking about it. Now listen to this. This is important. Don't group children as one. They are not one. They are individuals. Cain is not Abel. Abel is not Cain. Jacob is not Esau. Esau is not Jacob. Isaac is not Ishmael. Ishmael is not Isaac. Are you there? Don't say, my children. So, the same thing must apply. Mm-mm. They are individuals. For example, let me quickly say this. As important as it is for your children to go to your church, when they get to an age of taking their decisions, do not force local church on your children. It is not just manipulative, it is witchcraft. When you begin to see parents, I'm talking about, I'm telling you, when you begin to see parents, begin to lead their children. I told a woman, I said, you are telling these adults what to do, what church to attend. I said, are you a witch? Somebody in the university, you are telling the person, you must attend this church. Are you a witch? I mean, that is really ridiculous. And that is the African culture we have. You see people in Christ acting that way. Are you a witch? Someone said, can your church go to, does someone go to another church? Why not? If not, when he grows old to know what a local church is, he can. Simple. If you are going to practice the word, practice it. If you are not going to, don't. Don't get to one area that you begin to bring in sociocultural belief systems. No. So we'll come to that. We'll come to that. Now, in parenting, the Bible teaches that children should obey their parents, you know, as in the Lord, Ephesians 6. Verse 1 and 2. But it singles out, now you have mothers and fathers that call parents. Quickly, let me just run through that. Then it singles out the father. Now, the reason why the father, Ephesians 6, is singled out, and I must submit to this, is because largely in the society is patriarchal. That is, authority, family responsibility was vested in the man. So that's why when it talks about training children, it talks directly to the man. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Look at how Jesus was called the carpenter's son. Mark 6, verse 1 and 2. You know, easily is related to the father. Ah, is his father's son. You know, so they did operate and function a patriarchal system where the man, you know, the father in that society. But then, let's look at the key things he talks about. He says, provoke not your children to anger. That's totally anti-African. Because you can never. My dad once told me, he said, it's not proper to say sorry to your children. I said, why? He couldn't answer that question. I said, why? It's just not proper. I said, why? Get used to the question why. This generation of children, they ask a lot of whys. And you must answer. Don't say, shut up! Shut up. I told you yesterday, go and ask house girl. Or somebody outside. Generation, why? Why? You tell your son, go ahead and, he says, why? Don't say, hey! When I was talking to one of them, I looked at him and I said, imagine my father, the one and only. He talks and you say, why? You say, are you spelling something? He's too sure you're not asking a question. He's too sure. He's coming home. And the thing was that we were pretending. He asked us one time, watch one movie, Woman of Substance, to hold the dream. Shall we tell the president? That's right. No, the president's daughter, something. Barbara, something like that. We now watch one, not as out. No, that's it. What did you learn? Imagine, what does what you learn? You are frowning. What did you learn in the movie? Learn endurance. Consistency. Dalayo. We learned a lot. A vehicle of romance. Endurance, they call. L-Y-S in it. Oshisko. You know the funny thing? Initially, even I'm learning. When we're looking at TV, the television, and then they get to a scene and maybe people are kissing. It's the way I just couldn't see the remote control. And then, okay, go on, this is, otherwise, I say, what's this nonsense about? They will watch it. They know what's happening. So we started watching it together. I think there was just, there's no air about it. You're deceiving yourself. You get it? Do you know that Jesus says, they are not of this world, but don't take them out of this world. Selah. He says, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up. That's a key word. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, in your use of authority, which 1 Timothy 3 talks about, having rule over your house, 1 Timothy 3 talks about the bishop, you know, knowing how to rule his own house, shall he take care of the church of God? 1 Timothy 3, 4 and 5. But it says to nurture, the way you are going to do it is the same way a pastor brings up the church. Colossians 3. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. He says to bring them. So the question is this. Forget, look at it again. He says you should bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is, how does the Lord nurture people? Can you say again, where the mirror comes back, where we are seeing God in Christ again? It's the same thing. In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's why. Okay, don't let me discourage some people. But yeah, the truth is this. Your spiritual life reflects in how you raise your children. You can preach all you like on the finished work of Christ and what Christ has done for us, and it doesn't reflect in your home at all. One of the things I don't do, I in no way, I told my dad, I said, why can't you say sorry? He said, you can't say, say it's not right. I said, why can you not say sorry? Because you are wrong. He now said, hey, because he was a king. So he said, you know, as a king, I said, it doesn't matter. You are wrong. Simple. I don't find it difficult to tell my kids I'm wrong. I'm sorry. There was a day I beat my daughter, and I've not done it in many years. The other brother, even was a baby. Doesn't happen. So, that day, what she did was not commensurate at all. She said this one, so I said, go and lie down. And that's really happened. She said, I want to paint something. I said, you lie down. So mommy said I should paint it. Now what she said really wasn't much. It wasn't anything. But I'd already been, I was angry at the initial one. I said I had forgiven. She just came back. I just held her. She was shocked. She looked at me like, yeah? I had to myself, what did he just do? Now, there's nothing out of place. We will see something now. In correcting children, even family. But in anger, that's not God. That's not God. So I called her. I said, what you did was wrong. She said, she knows. Wait very well. I said, but what I did was also wrong. I should not have beat you in anger. I shouldn't get angry. So I said sorry. She said sorry. And we hugged ourselves. I showed her something. I'm not infallible. Two, my attitude was wrong. In as much as I was pointing it to her, that she was also wrong. See, don't make your children in bondage when they are with you. If anybody should be free with you, your children should be. I mean free. I mean, was it yesterday? I was talking to my son. I said something. He said, he now answered like, almost like, do you have memory loss? He now asked back, he said, how many times, I think it's like, how many times, well, I can't remember. How many times, he said, what do you mean? I said, well, he's just trying to say, have you forgotten what I told you earlier? You know, like, I said, okay, I'm sorry, I forgot. Remind me again. Don't say, your life. You didn't learn that from God. Let me tell you something. It's not your parents that you are, your father that you are accountable to. It's not your father that gave you the children. Do you understand? They say, my dad. Mm-mm. It's not your father that gave you the children. Eh? And I say it this way. I told my mom. I said, what did you call them? Your grandchildren. Repeat it. Your grandchildren. Remove the grand. Are they your children? No. They are my own children. They are not your own children. I am your own child. Leave my own children alone. They are not your children. Praise God. That should be clear.
They are my own children. They are not your own. Okay? It's not fight, though. It's just clarity of duties and relationship. As someone has told me before, he said, why do you always tell me about your father, your father, your father? It's your father is not my own. You are my own father. And my own father is richer than your own father. So stop telling me all those stories. My father, you are my own father. Take responsibility for your own self. That's the meaning of what he was saying. And I said, you are right. Praise God. Am I happy how my father raised me? Yes. Because that is all he knew. He wasn't born again many years of his life. But how would I now use that as a template? When I have instructions in scripture about parenting. Hallelujah. And I'm learning it. The more I see God as my father, the more I know how to relate to my own children. It's the same thing. Provoke. Not to anger, lest they be discouraged. So, when you see that first Timothy 3 about having rule over your house, he said, let him take care. How, if you cannot rule over his house, how can he take care of the church? So the question is, how do you take care of the church? You feed the church spiritual substance and you take care of the church naturally. You nurture, you bring up, you nurture. Let me say this, and this is a bit blunt. Most of the glories our parents take about our lives is not theirs. It's because we got born again. All those sakara is because we got born again. Plain truth. When my dad saw how my brother turned out, I said, you see what I'm saying? It's Jesus that can make someone behave well. My dad was very hard. When I say hard, I mean hard. Because he was a teacher before he became a banker. Very, very hard. He flogged me and my cousin in front of... The funny part was that we were seniors. He came to our school. That wasn't nice. And he flogged us. He said he wasn't going to do it privately. That he would do it publicly. He now went to housemaster's house. Collected the cane. He said in 1973 I was a housemaster in this place. So he collected cane. So I'll show you. And our ego, you know, you are moving to SS2. In SS2, you already are in SS3. And then he flogged us before GS1, GS2, GS3. Okay, my cousin was in SS1 then. And I said, yeah, just to show us that he's the father. Just to show us that he's the father. That's how God shows you that he's the father. He has sat himself. I won't raise my kids that way. Hallelujah. I won't choose their careers for them. Hey, you, doctor, you, lawyer, we already have engineer, businessman. They'll fill the form for you. You just submit pictures. There's no... Just submit your passport. You know? I thought I said yes. He said, when Craig told me, he said he's not going to one school. I said, but why? He said, this is my choice to make, not yours. Am I not the one going there? You know, I appreciate the fact that I could say that. You know, that he knows that it's his choice. We all knew it was our choice. But the point that we couldn't say it. Many of us, we lived in our parents' dreams. That's why you find an engineer. He's a nurse. A nurse is a banker. Many times, it's because you just lived in their dream. I was talking to my son one day, and then the grandmother was there. He said, he wants to play football. He wants to play for Arsenal, precisely. You know. The man said, I said, no. I said, you can play. He said, but it's good to have your degree. So that when you retire as a footballer, like that, he said, no problem. That he will play. And we've agreed though. That's what he wants to do. Praise God. It's not even a bad issue again. In fact, some of us should have asked our parents, why did you not allow my skin to rise? did you allow my skin to rise? 200,000 pounds per week. That is some family savings, families for 20 years. Per week, minus bonuses. What are you going to school for? Charity. Is it not to make money? Somebody in that place with boy is getting the money. But by the way, that's what he wants to do. He said, no problem, but it's good to have this. So he said, he understands. And that's it. He can change his mind tomorrow, but it's your choice. It's not mine. I have left, and if I look at the way me, I've done my own too. I go against my dad. We went to university like this. We submitted my registration form. As he left University of Illinois, I went back to collect another one. So I know that it's generational. So I won't let that happen to me. I'll let him decide it. That's in my face. This is what I want to do. Joking really, but the truth is this. You parent the way God has parented you, or He's parenting you. And I found out that no one can rise above that knowledge. You will always act it out. If you see God as very brutal, that's how you are going to treat your children. If you see God as unforgiving, that's how you're going to treat your children. You know, so there's responsibility. You know, look at Jesus and his parents. At that age of 12, they asked him, you know, said, am I not about my father's business? And the Bible says he followed them. But that was at a point. At a point, he said, who are my father, mother? He said, anybody that does the will of my father. So at that point, he had grown older. Do you understand? There's a place where you grow older and you allow your kids to actually, it's not even good. Let them have an independent mind. Independent mind. When I was younger, something happened in our family. 3 people died consecutively and nobody thought we were anything. That is my extended family. They didn't think they should explain to us. We didn't even hear somebody had died. We just got to know. They would just say, oh yeah. Just where? You just go and eat. Or just go back home. So the phenomenon was strange to me. And then nobody, and we all come together. We're doing morning devotion. But nobody was explaining things to us. So I grew up thinking, we are praying. All of us. And this happened. And nobody even said they should explain. Nobody did. In fact, when I was in secondary school as well, an aunt died. Two. Nobody sat us down to talk. Like, what do you think? Just that so we are going has died. We are going to okay, sir. They have died, we are going. You know? Now, when my mother-in-law passed, I told my in-law, relax. Let's handle it well. We can leave a negative impression on the children's minds. They've seen us as a family of faith. They've seen how everybody threw their lives to Jesus. Don't ignore them. So I took it upon myself. All my children, their cousins, to explain to each of them what happened. One by one. I said, I'm going to talk to them. This happened. Michelle asked me a question. Oh, she has gone to be with Jesus. She said, I said, but why now? Like, what is the urgency? I said, it's not about now. That generally, it's about a choice. That death is a choice that people make. That you know that she was not feeling fine. She probably felt she was stressing everybody. She felt the best thing. She said, oh, it's true that they were carrying things, had to carry her. She said, oh, yeah. I said, but grandpa is around for a longer time. She said, he won't be sick. And I said, he won't be. We just pray for him. He won't be sick. He just said, okay, great, no problem. And that's all. We're able to, I allowed her to ask questions. And I answered. Same with the cousins. So what do you think? Says so and so. It's easy. Because don't ever paint God in the wrong. Kids are intelligent. They think. Look at how I still remember what happened when I was young. I still, it's vivid. I can see it like this. Nobody talked to me. It looked like I was insignificant. We were insignificant. Don't raise your children that way. God reveals his mind to his children. Am I making any sense? Mm-hmm. Explain. Explain in the best possible way you can. You know, one day, Craig Toby was younger. He said, Daddy, he wants to go for vacation in the UK. I said, well, I'm believing God for funds. He said, let us pray. So we prayed. In Jesus' name. So, when are we going? That's very tough. How do I explain that we are still going to believe? So I said, yeah, that we will go. but the way we'll go is that the money will first come. So since we are prayed, I said, no, we are prayed. It will come. Okay. So it's now for us to get it when it comes. You know, and I tried to explain it out, you know, but over time, now he understands that you will walk, then God will bless you, walk away. He understands that now. But it was like, I said, I pray, you have a duty to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You have a duty. Don't force them to pray. God, yes! That's what I mean. They will grow up seeing prayer as a punishment. Never a relationship. In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Who is the Father? God is the Father. Amen. So we are fathers like He is. God is the Father. We have fathers in plural. God is the Father in singular. So, what if there are conflicts between me and my children? There will always be. Two things. Do not provoke to wrath. Don't let them get discouraged. Discouraged about what? That word discouraged is discouraged about the Lord. Do not let them be discouraged about the Lord. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. I know you understand that, verse 6, that the word scourges is not original. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with children, sons. For what son is he whom the father doesn't correct? But if you be without correction, that's the word chastisement, whereof all are you partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our faith. I'll come to that. So, that means, in father, in relationship with, notice that it uses the word father again. Now, I'll just say this, is important. Women, marry people who see God as their father and know him. Okay? It's important. Because fathers keep coming up in this teaching. So, correction and teaching are part of your duties as a father. Say, father is a teacher. Say again, a father is a nurturer. So a father is a teacher, is not true. A father is not somebody who can impregnate a woman. It's not the ability to do 5 rounds. You are just a sex athlete. A father is the ability to transfer what he has received of God in Christ to his children. That's fatherhood. Hallelujah. You correct, you teach, you explain. So, can you say that a father must be able to explain? Huh? You must patiently sit your children down and explain. Hallelujah. He explains. So, he corrects, you chasten, you rebuke. Pastor, you'll be a good father. You rebuke. Rebuke comes with a stern tone. I was wrong. Should have acted that way. You rebuke. You don't use animalistic tones for your children. Animalistic descriptions. Something God doesn't use for you. Don't use that. Curse. So you will see what will happen to you. You will see. All those kind of things. You don't do that. You are a teacher. You are a nurturer. That's what a father is. Now let me say this. This is how I like to say it. Everything that is your duty in the epistles. For instance, if you're a woman, you are called a mother, a wife. You know, if you're a man, a husband, a father. When you stand before Jesus, you will give account of those responsibilities. One by one. They will ask you how powerful you are in bed. Because there's no scripture for that. Manifestation. They will ask you how you raised up children in the Lord. How you loved your wife as Christ has loved the church. Submitted to your husband as the wife is subject to Christ. That's the question he's going to ask you, because that's basically, that's what you're going to give account. That's what you're going to be judged of, you know, in very, very technical terms. Because there's no, it's not an ask question and answer session. Your works in that regard will be judged. Do you see your role in the family as your works of faith? Show me a man's faith and I'll show you his works. Can we see your works in the home? Can we see your works towards your husband? Can we see your works towards your wife? Towards your children? What are your works? We seem to ignore that what we do in the home should also exemplify our faith. What are your works? Do you forgive? Do you keep reminding your children the things that they did? Just like the accuser of the brethren. You have a long list. Say, on February 18, 6 p.m. precisely, it was a Tuesday. Book of Judgment. No. So, you correct, you teach. Look at the difference he now makes in verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us and gave us we gave reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the fathers of spirits and live? For verily, for a few days chasten us for after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Look at the difference. He says the natural father is for his pleasure. He's angry. He wants you to be subservient to him. He wants you to revere him. Much of that correction we get in the natural is so that the child can obey you, can do what you want. He says no. This one is for your profit. Now, what does that bring in again? Agape. Agape comes in again. So, when the father is correcting us and teaching us, who is he doing it for? For us. Again, it's agape.
Can you see a distinction the writer of Hebrews makes between earthly parenting and how God fathers us in Christ? He makes that distinction again. Hallelujah. So, it must not be for your pleasure. It must not be from your anger. No. You correct by the Spirit of God. You correct walking in the Spirit. Because there will be conflict. Your children will do wrong. They will play pranks. As a pastor, I don't put pressure on my children. I know people can be hypocritical. They say, see the pastor's kids. It's your business. I don't send you. Say, allow my children to grow up. Let them make, let them be exuberant. Let them do pranks. It is normal. My daughter will take her mom's earrings. Keep it in the bag. Take it to school and go and wear. Mom, I'm not raking. I said, you must have done it before. Have you not done it before? Say, but you done it before. It's normal. How many of us not do those things? You keep everything in the school bag. You have a way of scoping the aunties. Don't stress children. Don't begin to look for something that is out of this world. I expect my children once they were to scope me. It's just life. Don't you even scope me? So what is the thing? You laugh very well. So calm down. I expect them to put, what's in your hand? I've done those things before. They say they are pastor's kids. Oh, my daughter was listening to, she was listening to your song. And she had another song. And I said, don't hide it. Let's dance it together. So they teach me dance steps. We dance. Apart from Juni, they also teach me all those. Don't say, if I see you again, you are going to school. Okay, my son told me, my friend was around then. He said, you are locking your phone. He said, if I get on all your phones in this house, I will unlock everything. Fear caught me. Is everything you are holding? Is that going to say? Why do you say that? Does it change anything? Do you understand? So, you can only be a good example. My friend said, there's no game on my phone. He said, bring it. He got on the phone like this. He said, I'll show you a game. Pam, 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 pam. It was years ago. He said, this is not a game. So, allow. Don't put pressure on your children because I'm saying, you are speaking in tongues! Say it! Oh yeah! Not in any way. Shatter me. I believe in my heart. Oh yeah! I believe in my heart. Yes, I confess my Lord. Yes, my Lord. Yes. I'm a new creature. 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 A family built on Mount Sinai. Don't do that. Say, I bought Bible for you. How many verses have you read today? Say four. Read the Bible. There are so much you have read. I read that Moses gave birth to Abraham. Have asked me a question about flogging your child. Is anything real? Well, the New Testament is almost silent about it. We have a lot of places in Proverbs. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Proverbs 13:24. The question is, how many children of Solomon do you know? Do you know his children, sir? Go and find out the student. Proverbs 19:18, Proverbs 29:17, Proverbs 22:15, Proverbs 23:13-14. I'll take it. Proverbs 13:24, 19:18, 29:17, 22:15, Proverbs 23:13-14. Now the word rod used there is the word shebet in the Hebrew. It's for authority and discipline. Sometimes it also means use a club. Now I take it like this. Just like I interpret Old Testament terms, that the real issue in those texts is to use your authority. Like I said, the Greek word is shebet. Hebrew, sorry, is shebet. Shebet is authority, discipline, and can involve using physical objects. Now, knowing fully well that the trainings of the new covenant are by words. Because in Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's not doing the path for me. The word, the way he should go in the Hebrew is the way of the mouth. Train up a child by speaking. Praise God. Praise God. So I summarize the chastening, just like that Hebrews 12, to what you say. Now, of course, once in a while, you can apply the fivefold ministry and all that. But the real training is not done with physical things. It's done with words. Words. Build your children with words. Not with things. Words. Faith, hope, and love. In words. To train up a child in the way he should go. The way of the mouth. When he's old, she will not depart from it. Not that you will not depart from your cane. You will not depart from your words. The things you have said, they are engraven on his heart. And what are those words? They are words of faith. Words that are pointing to God, the Father. What if I have a wayward child? It always happens. A child that goes, you know, to the extreme. Again, it's the same discipline. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul tells us about how a guy had his father's wife and is a believer. In 2 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2, he had those who had sinned, committed all sorts of licentiousness. They are believers. You know, we'll always have believers who sin. What does God do? 2 Corinthians 13. Are you learning something? 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 10. I want us to read this one together. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 10. It says, therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord had given me, to edification and not to destruction. So my words should be to what end? To build up. To, don't tear, you see, in correcting children, never ever make them lose their self-esteem. The same way, you know, in God correcting us, he still leaves us with a no condemnation mark. Never let them lose their self-esteem so that the next time they look at you, they are scared to talk to you. I told you when I beat my daughter. Now, the thing was not beating her. It was the way I did it. She looked at me from afar. I could see it. I was scared. I had to apologize. I can't take joy in somebody not being able to talk to me. That's not of God, though. It's not of God. Hallelujah. If there's anybody your children should be free with, it should be you. It should be you. Praise God. It should be you. So, it's vital not to destruction, but to what? Edifying. Don't destroy people's psyche. Don't destroy their dignity because you want to correct them. The same way, don't do that to your children. You have a responsibility from the Lord. What if it's a wayward child? It's the same thing. You will surround the child with faith and love. With faith and love. You know, do you know that your primary duty to your children is to lead them to Christ? Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that? It's not for them to become engineers or doctors or lawyers. Oh,
is to, or businessman or millionaire, is to lead them to Christ. I told my dad something, and I say this without, I know some folks have quoted me wrongly, and I really don't care. I said, do you know why I knew you can be very wrong? Because I grew up seeing like a role model. Ah, it was this. He now told me something. I remember the year he told me. He said, these people called born again, I should never be their friend. That they are deceived people. But there's nothing called born again. That is just deceit. That just love your neighbor as yourself. Don't lie, don't cheat. You'll get to heaven. That's what he told me. He said, after Sundays, that church, the other ones are just obligations. I should not, it lectured, and I believed him. When I now got born again, I told myself, if this man can be wrong on something eternal, he can be wrong on anything. It was a fundamental, radical departure for me. And that was important. So, your first duty as a parent is to lead your children to Christ. It's more important than being this and being that. So, if you are a real child, the love of God will always win. Surround the child with faith and love. Brother Hagin told the story how his daughter, and people don't know some of these things, the daughter was very bad. She used to follow men. In fact, the man she eventually married was an alcoholic. I think he used to smoke. The man she eventually, that is Kenneth Hiegi, his daughter. His son left off the work of ministry and went to the army. Just boldly went to the army. But he just surrounded them with faith and love. He never told the son one day that he was called to the ministry. He said he didn't mention it. Now, the daughter's husband is Buddy Harrison. Or was Buddy Harrison. I just surrendered faith and love. I just kept speaking God's word over their lives that they will rise up to be what I see. Faith and love. Faith and love. Not beating someone over all the time. I know. You know this kind of thing. No. Faith and love. Said they rose up. They asked him a question. They said, do you pray for your children? Said you dedicate. Said there's only one I did. When they got born, I spoke words over their lives. I just maintain that confession also. A unique family. Almost all, in fact, all his children, including his grandchildren and great-grandchildren in the ministry. Very unique. Doesn't mean that those people did not have challenges of children going wayward. But when it happens, it's still the love of God that you will apply. Don't make your children fear you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let them respect, honor you, revere you, and all that. The way you do to God, but never let it be out of fear or punishment. No. Hallelujah. I told my wife something. I said, you notice that? I get the kids to do things faster than you. We're talking one day. I said, because it's simple. They know I will not beat them. So, I'm probably someone they don't want to offend at all. I will not beat them. He said, you know that I get them to do things quickly. I do. So there is, and that's not how I was brought up. At all. At all. Eh? My dad. My mom was a different person. My mom did not have a systematic way of dealing with you. Our own was inspirational. Anything in sight at that moment. So, when she's angry, you look at what's around, you just keep moving away. The kitchen is the worst one. She'll use spoon. One day, food poured on the floor. My mother said, start to eat it. Not eat with hand, though. And that was what she was taught. But thank God, I have received eternal life. I know how God fathers me. I know how he has surrounded me with his love. I know how he believes the best about me. I know how in failings he still trusts me. I know how he gives me responsibility. Despite the fact that I'm not even up to the task. He says, go ahead, you can do it. And that's how I want to raise my own children. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Praise God. I will not replicate what I did not see in Christ. I won't do it. Praise God. Let me ask you, have you turned out well as a believer? In spite of your failure, have you turned out well? Are you turning out well? Are you enjoying your walk with God? Are you enjoying the work of the ministry? Exactly. So this will never fail. Don't think hard. If I do it, it will never fail. The same way God's love has not failed in the way He's raising you, it won't fail when you raise your children. You know, God expects us to make mistakes. He expects us to learn. Praise God. He doesn't raise a bar for any of us. If He raises a bar at all, it takes you to jump at the bar. Hallelujah. And that's the way it is. Quickly. Now, I said this to say this. You know, we mentioned fathers. The mother has a duty as well. A very strong one. In scripture, and this is why I tell people that, say, well, when you're a single mother, I heard a preacher say that people that are not raised by their mother and father, they don't turn out well. I say, what kind of nonsense is that? Are you saying that everybody that is a bad child on the road is somebody that raised them? I say, if you look at the percentage very well, most of the bad people is mother and father raised them. Nonsense. That's how we were taught that people from rich homes are always spoiled kids. It's a lie! Everybody is spoiled. That they don't turn out. It's a lie! I was in boarding house. In fact, it's children of those who are not rich that are worse. It is out of lack that make people say that. Let's happy that we don't have money. Our children will not be spoiled. Will I? A bad boy is a bad boy. Acts 16. Look at a man like Timothy. People hardly know that Timothy actually had a dad. When I was recognized, everybody has a dad, verse 1. And he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. So he had a dad that was known. But look at his testimony. 2 Timothy 1. The same person. Verse 5. I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and persuaded that it is in thee also. So, Timothy's life, the Paul met him a believer. Paul could only trace it to his mom, and his mom to her mom. See, you can bring up children well. Hallelujah. If you're a woman, raise your hand and say, I can bring up children well. Say, I can bring up children very well. Amen. You can. Excellently. If you have a son called Timothy, like Timothy, you've done well. Hallelujah. Judas probably was brought up by two good parents. Father and mother in the same house. It makes no difference. If people find themselves in things, circumstances happen where people have to raise kids themselves. I don't judge them. Sometimes widows, for example. Sometimes it's a broken marriage. There are marriages that you can't mend. There's nothing you can do about it. It's so funny that those who teach against divorce don't believe that you are safe forever. I don't think you understand that. They say divorce, but they don't believe that salvation is forever. But marriage must be forever. They need deliverance. I think they do. Look at Jesus and his mother. As much as, Joseph was involved, no doubt. But in John's gospel, you could see Jesus' mother played a role. She was at the wedding at Cana in Galilee. She was the one that told him what to do. She recognized who he was. In John 19, she was there at the cross. In Acts 1:14, she was there in the upper room. So she was supportive. She was around him. The Bible says she kept the things in her heart, the things that the angel said to her, and so on and so forth. So a woman can play a positive role. You can play a positive role. I mean, very positive. Look at 2 John. I don't want to start talking about people in life generally. You know, but it's not like Brother Higgin was raised by his mom. In fact, his father was an absentee dad who was raised by his mother. Kenneth Copeland, his faith is found in his mom, not his dad. If I'm talking about Christianity and I say somebody who has supported me is my mom, not my dad. My mom was the one who told me that God told her, I've called this boy, let him be. She began to support. She'll come for meetings. It was somebody from our ministry in 1995 that God had filled with the Holy Ghost. I can go on and on. A mother can be positive. You can step forward. I'm not saying sidestep your husband though, but you can step forward and be active in raising up kids in the faith. And if somebody finds himself in a situation where you are a single parent, you know, which happens, it is not in minus. You are not disadvantaged at all. Look at 2 John. Are you in church? The elder unto the elect lady, verse 1, and her children. Remember, a woman. Whom I love in the truth. Imagine to say you love a woman today is a problem. Not I only, but all that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwells in us, and shall be with us forever. Then he says in verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in the truth. Can you see this? So she was influential, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now, if you notice that he said his own children too, that is Paul, I mean John, in verse 4, 3 John, they walk in the truth. So you can see that the elect lady was like a spiritual father. In 3 John 4, John said, I love to see my children walk in the truth. In 2 John, he said, I see your own children walk in the truth. So that woman had a spiritual influence. Praise God. Look at this. So he said that about her. He now says, look, I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, that which this is the Lord that will walk in his commandment. So he began to talk to her about deceivers and all that and all that. So she had a spiritual role. She was to take care of people's spiritual lives. A woman and her children. 13. The children of thy elect sister grieve thee. Can you imagine? Again, talked about another woman. Again, says the children of that woman. So how many children? How many women now? Two. Who were spiritual parents. You can raise kids for the Lord. You can. John Wesley's mom, right, had I think seven children or six. And all of them ended up in the ministry. She raised them well. You can. I mean, excellently well. In fact, in some situations, I'd rather have the woman a single parent than the man being involved. The man will just be the accuser of the brethren living in the brethren. In Exodus, we know about Moses' mother. Exodus 2:3, Exodus Numbers 26:59, his mom. His mom, she featured prominently in how he was raised. Look at 1 Timothy 5. So when I was talking about fathers, don't let your mind just go to a man. There could be a reason why you or somebody you know will have to parent children by herself. Don't say you don't have the grace. You don't. There's nothing like that. If you have been fathered by God in Christ, you can father others. Are you following what I'm saying? First Timothy 5 and 8. No, not 8. Widows, verse 9. He says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 60 years old, having been the wife of one man. Verse 10. Well reported for her good works, if she had brought up children, lodge saints, wash the saints' feet, if she had received the afflicted, leave the afflicted, if she had diligently followed every good work. Look at the first thing. If she has brought up children, a widow. So you don't throw your hands, there's nothing I can do, bring up children. Mm-mm. Children can be your disciples. People that you raise. As a mother, you can play that role. Just like the elect lady, just like Timothy's mom and grandmom, you know, and just like the widow reported here, and raise up children in the Lord. Hallelujah. So, either way, we look into God's word and practice what is there. Is that clear? I'll close and say this. I mean, this particular session. First of all, and above all, and I say this to parents a lot of times, I remind myself as well, children are actually not yours. I hope you know. They are not your own. They are not, you can't give life. Okay? So, all you did was to be, all you are will be a steward. Let that dawn on you very well. That what you are holding in your hands, either as a baby, as it begins to grow, is an eternal principle that must be seen from an eternal point of view. That's why salvation is important to you, that your child receives Christ and begins to grow spiritually. Do not try to live your dreams through your children. Whether as a minister, you must be in ministry with me. We must all serve God together. You are a pastor. I know you are. I said you are. Say with me, I'm a pastor. No. An eternal principle. Let the same principle that is in God function in you. God told Adam, eat of every tree, but don't eat of this one. And he did not stop his mouth. He gave him free will. Allow your children to be free moral agents, because they are already. When you don't allow that, you will see rebellion. Allow your kids to be free moral agents, just like God has. And then introduce them to Jesus, just like it was done to you. And bring them up in the Lord the same way. You have no right to choose careers for your children or who to marry. That's witchcraft. It's absolutely wrong. Or who to marry. Or even choose friends. Now, there could be a case where you've seen an influence of a bad friend. Sit your child down and explain. Then you see, the more you relate with this person, so and so. My brother told my dad something that was so vital, and I will never forget what he said to me. He said, look, no, I was the one that told my dad. Not my brother, I was the one that told him. He did something. So my dad was angry. His friends. I said, let me say something to you. That you are getting something wrong. I said, do you know that he didn't choose you? Yeah, I said, mm-mm. Answer my question first. Did he choose you? He said no. This was his choice. He will fight for this one. Let that get into you very well. How do you know that he was given a choice? He would have chosen you as his father. You are not too sure. Is he alive? Some of you know here. You would have chosen somebody else. It's true. I said, so, do not force your choice on him. If you are going to tell him to do something, explain to him. I said, you know that your star didn't work with me. Only that I just cooled down for you after a while. You know, after a while, when you beat someone, then again say, okay, is that all? After a while, the guy will not be able, you can't beat him again. Then you have lost your collection. You can't collect again. Yes, in those days, maybe by the time you are 16, 17, now I think you are younger. Kids of today, they are too smart. in the internet age, social media age. What are you talking about? That they can find out too many things for you. Too many things. So you have to be smart. If you are still living in the stone age, you think your children are raised in your village? You take your kids to a school where they teach them very well. You are not treating them like they are in your village. You know, you are deluding yourself and they are deluding you too. Be realistic. Your children know things very, very well. Things that you don't know, they know. Be realistic. So, in closing, like rightly said, if you have a wayward child, it's not a big deal. It's not worth crying over and want to spit your hair. So have faith and love. Don't control your children. Don't choose careers. Something that you know you are not going to do for them. Why are you choosing for them? Why are you choosing someone's career for them? Choosing the person's husband and wife. And say you are going to go and pray about it. Take it to one stupid prophet. That will begin to see all sorts of things. You know? I say, well, the way I see it, I saw a star on the guy's head. You know? Some of you have had those kind of things happen. You shouldn't do that to your children. And let it not be just getting married. Let it start from basic things. What do you want to do? I want to be a doctor. You say, why? Why? I prayed about it. And God told me, you're a pilot. How will I go to you? And that's what we're going to do. I used to hear Belial. I didn't know what it was. Belial. I said, what's Belial? Yeah. My mother told me one day. Said, I will never be like Eli. Eli, that could not talk to his children. And the Lord rejected him. I said, who is Eli? You know, I just had negative things about God. So God did not like Eli. What did he do? Not necessary. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Praise God. So in parenting, you parent in the Lord. You parent after what God has done for us in Christ. You learn to forgive, forbear, believe the best, correct and rebuke. Okay? As much as you can, avoid using cane. I can't say rule it out totally. I can't say that. But as much as you can, because true training is in words. Things you say, either in the place of prayer, or things you say mostly in teaching. Remember, you are a teacher. That means to your children, you must be a patient explainer. A patient teacher. Praise God. Praise God. Good. Any question? Yes. The father is molesting the female child.
What should the child do to that father? The child already told the mom.
And the mom does nothing about the child. She reports to the police. Yes. That's an offense. It's a crime. As simple as that. What kind of mom is that? Is that his mom? You should find out. You know, one of the basic grounds where I will teach separation any day is when you find the dad molesting the children. I'll leave that kind of house. You know, or maybe the husband begins to beat the wife. All those kind of things. The Bible says, when you hear your persecutors are coming, he says, run. You are walking in love, but you are running in love. Because you have to be alive. It's important. You have to live. Amen. That means the unbelieving is not pleased to stay. Yes. Any more question? Yes, someone is there. Yes.
Thank you, sir. I want to ask, sir, in the case whereby you said that we should leave our children to their choices, whatever they want.
No. Don't. I made very particular mention of career, for example, marriage and all that. I said, remember I started by saying that when a child gets to an age where he can decide things for he or herself, to now begin to control the child is witchcraft.
I'm not saying that those children now, you leave them to their choices. That's not what I was saying. I think what I said was in context.
Okay, sir. The reason why I was asking was, for example, my child, each time I dress her to school, she will say, "Mommy, I'm just going. I don't like it."
No, that's so not really, we are all like that. That's not a big deal. I didn't like school.
She always points at a particular school. Mommy, I don't.
She wants another school.
Yes. For me, I don't like the school.
Why don't you like the school? Or would you discuss that one off record? It is because of more reasons than one. Me too, when I was growing up, I liked some schools that I wish I went to. But I dare not tell my father. My father was there as you are going to school. Know this child of whom you are. You are not rich, you are not poor, you are average. Oh, you know that speaking. So what is average? You know. So I think on that, sit. You can sit your child down and explain to her that, look, I'll be very realistic. I don't have enough money for you to attend that school. But I pray to God, when money comes, you can go to that school. And if the school is not good, explain. Don't say, ah! Okay, so someone here. The children are so young, they don't know what to do, and they're thinking, I think I've answered that. They are so young, I mean, but when you shouldn't raise your children to always be so young all the time. They should be able to think, you know. I train my children to be able to think for themselves and ask questions. Don't forget, learn to train your children to ask questions. It's important. Yes. Premarital relationships. We have not gotten there. That's the last session. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Sir, I'm a teacher. I'm in the natural world. I teach mathematics. And
anyone is okay.
Yes, sir. And there is this thing in students, children, per se.
The duty of a teacher is not the same as a father. So, we are not going to talk about education now. I say, pastor said that we should not do this to our students. I didn't teach anything like that here. So, ask your question.
All right, sir. And over the years, taught in different schools, and right now, I just got an employment into a school where you don't even harass them with care.
So that's a normal.
I'm now learning, and I believe it's the will of God for me also to also learn how to nurture. But what I actually want to bring up.
Your math teacher.
Yes, sir.
Your math teacher always is the same.
Yes. Sir, the reason
he always use cane.
The reason is that
Mr. Yeboah. I can never forget that name. Mega, they are always wicked. But why?
The reason is that
because naturally, non-living things.
I believe consistently over the years that I've taught that the perpetual gene is that broken in some students when. After that, they don't want to. I raise up my bar with Cain and then discover that it's flowing. But now, but I know, Lisa. I'm learning to actually do it without. I want to do it without Cain because it's a natural thing.
How come people learn universities without Cain?
It's a mature mind.
It's not maturity, it's just reality has done everybody. And they still don't know the math. And nothing will happen. Okay? You know the judicial system of many countries is built from Sinai. Alright, are we done? Okay, that will be the last one. How do you raise up kids? It's the same thing. You don't assume. I must not hear about it. Well, it is happening, whether you hear or not. You will have to sit down and still explain. You see, the thing is that you have to be patient and don't get emotional, sentimental. Okay? Alright. I think you should turn to your neighbor and explain in 5 minutes what you have learned so far.